Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Paula Bates, artist, intuitive counselor, and author of The Atlantean Legacy, and another book, The Atlantean, we'll get it in a moment, in 2002 at Brian Weiss's Past Life Regression Workshop, Paula relived a past life in ancient Atlantis that shook her world as a result of the emotionally charged information from her remote past that barreled through her psyche that day. Her fascinating novel, The Atlantean Legacy, began to take form. Paula has always been an explorer of the spiritual realm, doing her utmost to follow the path that spirit has laid out before her. Her explorations had led her to study with a multitude of teachers. In addition to being an author and seeker, she is a certified past life regression therapist, a certified sixth sensory practitioner and intuitive counselor, a licensed mental health counselor, and a Reiki master, and, as I mentioned, an artist. You can find out more by visiting her website, which is www.paulabates.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Paula to the show. Good day, Paula.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on your show today. Looking forward to it.
Great, I am too. I enjoyed reading your book, and I did read the Atlantean Legacy. And what was the other one? I'm sorry, for some reason
Atlantean Echoes. The second one.
Echoes. Yeah. Okay, that's right. Sorry about that. Yeah. So, anyway, I enjoyed reading it. It's, you know, to me, it's always fascinating to you know, read information about Atlantis and you know, your experience with it. So, anyway, first of all, as I mentioned in the introduction, you know, this kind of the Atlantean experience kind of came back to you during a past life regression workshop. So I would love, if you wouldn't mind, sharing with the listeners a little bit about that experience, exactly kind of what happened and what was your initial response when you had that experience?
Yeah, I was in a workshop with Brian Weiss, as you said, and I allowed this life to just come through. I didn't expect it at all. I thought that it would probably be something from Greece or Rome or something like that, because I had feelings about these kind of ancient life. But what came through really surprised me, because it was the last segment in the book where Atlantis goes down, and it was so engrossing and so phenomenal to me that I really had to pursue it and go on with writing a book about it. But it took several years for that to come about. But in the session itself, there were seven priestesses, and we were all at the end of the time period, and we had these crystal implants that that part in itself surprised me. We each had little crystal implants in our foreheads, and we were able to manipulate this energy, and it catapulted us out of our bodies, and then we were standing there watching Atlantis go down. And when I came out of that trance, I was just floored. I was shaking. I was teary-eyed. It was so emotional to me and so very, very real. And then months and months after that, when I'd talk about it to people, I'd still tear up. I still get a little emotional just talking about it now. So, yeah, and that's what took started me on that path to writing the book.
Yeah, you know, I have noticed that, you know, whenever there's that recollection at soul level, that there, I mean, you know, that there's almost an involuntary reaction, you know, physical reaction that you can't deny, you know, that it, I mean, it just resonates so deeply.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I knew for me, my truth was that this really happened.
Yeah, very much. So now you say it took a while. So let's kind of, I would love for you to kind of tell us about how you wrote the book. Was it channeled, or how did the, you know, actual writing of the book unfold?
Yes, as I said before, I felt like I needed to pursue that information because that little nugget that I had received was so powerful. So I did. I got some other past life regressions through some other people, and I also went down to the Brian Weiss workshop and got training in how to do past life regression and came up with some more information there. But then I didn't have the whole story. There was this feeling, this push. It was a push that I couldn't even ignore, because if I did, I felt like I was going to implode. So I just decided to try to write it. And I put myself in a trance, in a meditative trance, set up the music and had the scene set, and just started writing. And after that first sentence came, it's just like the story came through. And I never had to work for a plot or try to figure out what was going on. It just all came. And it was like it came in a almost finished. I mean, it took me a while to write it down, and it was given to me in visuals. So I recorded the visuals as they came through, and that's where being an artist helped a lot, I think. And I had to edit it and do the kinds of things you have to do to make a book publishable. But the essence was given to me in that way.
Wow. You know, that was the one thing for listeners, as I mentioned in the introduction, that Paula is an artist, and quite a wonderful artist. You have, you know, I mean, I love the, you have a great variety of art, and I can see, you know, it seems that, you know, whenever, you know, people who kind of receive information that needs to be put down in word or expressed, that it seems to come to the individual in ways that are best suited for them. So, I mean, mm-hmm. to me, I guess I'm not surprised that yours came visually. Some of us, like me, I'm not a very visual person, so, you know, it's for me, I guess it would be more spoken than auditory, but for visual, that would be great.
And it came in fiction form, and it's a romance story, and it gets a little racy in places, and it's fun to read, and that to me is the kind of thing I like, so that's how it came through for me, and I know that it appeals to a lot of women tend to like this book a lot, but it also appeals to men as well, because there's the technology that happened at the time, the stuff that you traditionally people would not expect to have been, you know, that long ago. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, that was one of the, you know, as far as you know, a fiction format or kind of a that as a storyline. For me personally, I like that. I mean, to me, it was you know, and I think for people who maybe aren't real familiar with some of the ideas of what Atlantis was all about, and you know, everything from the crystal healings, and you know, and the technology and that kind of thing. To me, it framed it in a way that I think people would be able to kind of absorb it without really giving it much attention, if that makes sense.
Yes, and I think it's easy to digest. It's easy to take in.
Yeah. Very much. So now with the way that you know, that it unfolded. Now, the main character, was that your life that I forgot, I don't know how it was pronounced. Is that
Akana.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that was you in this particular lifetime.
Yeah, that was me. I had that one scene, I don't know if you remember, there was one scene where I wrote where she came and visited me as I was writing, actually, is what it was supposed to be. And that was really an interesting scene because I experienced their presence. It was her and another main character who came, and I felt them in the room when I was writing. And so I played around with the typewriter and to see, or the computer, you know, to see what mm-hmm. words would come out. And I sort of did what was in the story where there was a conversation between the two, and it was really fascinating that happened.
Yeah. So now if you know the character, if kind of like the you were the character back then, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you were that individual, and mm-hmm. you know, the person came to you, you know, in this particular writing, how would you explain it? That as I mean, it's kind of like you talking to you. You know what I'm saying? You know, mm-hmm. It's one of these things. So for people out there who don't understand channeling and you know, and that kind of aspect, maybe you can kind of explain a little bit about that.
Well, there's the idea. It depends on how you want to look at it. Now, whether you want to look at it as mm-hmm. linear or that we all exist at one time. Now, one of the ideas that has been put out, but Jane Roberts, who has been, she passed away a while back, but she was mm-hmm. a channeler, and one of the ways she explained it was like everything exists at once, and we have our hand, and each finger is a separate finger, but yet it all makes up the hand. So if you think of your past lives that way, that it all exists at the same time. Your hand all exists at the same time, but each finger is definitely separate. So your past lives all exist at once. So if you look at it in that way, then you can see how there would be overlays and bleed-throughs and how one life might affect the other. So that's one way to look at it. The other way is that I was in touch with my past life, and I brought that energy through when I was writing, and that's what came through for me, was the energy of her and the energy of the other character.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and I mean, with the idea of it all existing at once, I mean, that, you know, the whole, you know, if you, and I do believe, you know, that we have that past, present, future all existing at the same time, which kind of, you know, throws a lot of people off, you know, as far as trying to, you know, when you're trying to, you know, in a linear frame of mind and you try to do that, it just, you know, the two don't coexist easily. So, but you know, that particular aspect, you know, I could see where, you know, where that would have happened. And, you know, it seems to me that, you know, for people who are, you know, living in this current existence, that it just seems to make it all that more important to recognize that your actions today, that your conscious choices today, you know, affect both the past and the present and the future. Whereas mm-hmm. you know, some people think it's just right now in the present or maybe even in the immediate future, but in fact the actions really, you know, impact throughout time, you know,
mm-hmm.
so makes it so much more important. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you know the story that you channeled about Atlantis? Do you think? How do you feel that is consistent with some other stories of Atlantis, or, you know, do you think that this is kind of like what, you know, that one particular experience from your point of view at that particular time expressed in the story?
Okay, so the first thing I want to say is Atlantis existed for about 200,000 years, as far as I understand. So because of that, there could be many, many different past lives and many, many different experiences of Atlantis. My experience, of course, I get that through my own filters, and each one of us are going to have past life memories if we do have them through our filters from our present time. So for me, that is my truth. But at the same time, other people have different ideas. I've found from reading things later, because I did try to not read anything while I was writing this book or try to do any research on it because I wanted to be as mm-hmm. clear as I could. But I found out after reading things later that so many things like Edgar Casey's stuff and stuff kind of overlapped my work. I mean, it wasn't exactly the same, but it was similar. So from that, that made me feel really good when I could read it and I'd go, yeah, that works. But I think everybody is going to have their own experience, and there might be people who read it and say, it didn't happen that way. You know, that's not the way it happens. And, you know, that's perfectly fine. In fact, it's kind of delightful to see everybody's different opinions. It's just we all have our little puzzle piece, and we'll all put it together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about, you know, the length of time the civilization would have existed, you know, and you look at our civilization, you know, and just our speck of time, you know, and, you know, people from one period, 1700s to right now, they would, you know, completely different experiences that, you know, one would think the other one was crazy, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, so that's, you know, I could see that would be the case. As a matter of fact, gosh, we have one of our listeners in the chat room, Gemini, was saying that she has a memory of Atlantis. Remember taking a large emerald crystal from Atlantis when it was going down and hid under the Great Pyramid. And in yours, you know, there is that great crystal pyramid at the center, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is a temple in the center of the city. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And there's the crystal too. Yeah. Go on.
No, I was just gonna say, you know, and crystals played a great big role in the healing aspect, and of course now in your book you also had light and dark, conflict of light and dark as well, correct?
Yes, a lot of that.
Now, when that came through for you, with, you know, I'm sure, you know, okay, you had this visceral experience of, you know, of Atlantis going down, and that, I'm sure the sadness, I would think, that would have accompanied that. When you were actually going through and doing the writing, what about when that dark element appeared? What was your feeling about that?
It was part of the process all along, because The first exposure I had to it was when Atlantis was going down. So from there, I knew that the darkness was there, that there was something that was created, was destroying Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not like it first appeared. I mean, it was there through the whole story, and it was sad, and it was intense, and it was, scary for me personally as I was writing it, but in the storyline it was scary.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it seems to be the nature, you know, of the universe in a way, you know, the light and the dark, and constructive and destructive forces. I mean, it's just, it just seems to be inherent in existence that is the case.
And it's like another way to say it is things being fear-based or love-based. And there was a lot of the fear-based stuff going on there, which is ultimately what did destroy Atlantis. Was that they instead of trusting the universe and trusting their belief in spirit and God and the goddess, they got into doing things that technologically controlled their environment in order to feel safer.
Yeah.
So they were trading off safety for their freedoms, actually, what they were doing. And so that's another thing that's like a parallel to some of the things that are going on in our culture presently.
Oh, yeah. Very much. I mean, mm-hmm. It's playing out on the front page right now. Yeah, very much.
Sure is.
Yeah. Yeah. So now, in the title, the Atlantis legacy, what does you mean by the legacy of Atlantis?
Well, that's kind of what it does mean. What I was just saying was that if we can see that we've been there before, we've made those mistakes, and we can change them, then we can change where we're going. We can change it so that we are not going down another dark spiral like the Atlanteans did, and we're not going to lose our culture and everything involved, but rather if we get back into the trust of the energy of love, which is the most powerful energy there is, then we will be safe without having to trade away those freedoms and to get into that whole fear-mongering, be very afraid sort of attitude.
Yeah, boy, that would be, it would be nice to enlighten right now a few people, as to that. Because, I mean, it's one of those things where, if you don't learn from your mistakes, you're bound to repeat them, and mm-hmm. It seems that so many of the lessons that are brought up in the book, like you say, are kind of going on right now. Now, do you, as far as, a lot of people have talked about Atlantis and Lemuria. What is your opinion on where you think the world was? Where was it located? And do you think that we're ever going to see evidence, maybe, of where it was?
Well, I think it was in the Atlantic Ocean, and I agreed with where Edgar Cayce says it was, which was basically it's kind of like a maybe Australian-shaped sort of continent between Africa, North and South America. In the story, and if you read other things about Atlantis, it broke up several times before it went totally down. So the last part of Atlantis was around by the Bimini Islands and over there in the Bermuda Triangle in that area there. And this didn't come through in the story, but I really think that it could be that they talk that energy around the Bermuda Triangle can be that that crystal went down when Atlantis went down, and that's still functioning in some form and pulling people in. I mean, that's just my own imaginings, but I think that could be it.
Yeah. Well, one of the things during in the book, there was that one scene where there was talk when she was headed to the temple, and there was talk about the galactic beam, with the shuttlecraft driver, and there was talk about space travel and no space travel, and was it interdimension kind of that they were kind of doing more interdimensional work than space travel? Was I reading that correctly?
At that point in the story, they weren't doing space travel. They were doing shuttlecraft, like our modern airlines. Although I don't think they look like that. They look more like what you envision as a shuttlecraft, like a silver, spherical type craft. But at one point, according to what came through for me, was that the original Atlanteans came from the Pleiades. They were Pleiadians.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they landed here on Earth, they mated with the Earthlings and created a kind of intermingled the species. So that by the time my story takes place, there are really no really pure Atlanteans left, but there are residuals from them. And one of the residuals is that they have the elongated skulls. Not everyone has them, just some of them. And the ones who do are usually the ones that are the priestesses and priests, because they have a particular talents that the people who don't have that genetic trait don't have. So it gets into that to some degree. It doesn't get into it real deeply, but that has always made sense to me, that we part of our history is where we actually have DNA mm-hmm. from the stars.
Yeah, very much. Okay, well, we're about halfway through the show, so I want to take just a quick break and do want to invite anyone listening that if you would like to call in and ask Paula any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions that you would like for me to pose to Paula, feel free to type them in and we'll get right to them. And then, Paula, when we come back, I kind of want to move on to talk a little bit about, you know, just past lives, you know, your beliefs, and since you're a past life therapist, just to talk a little bit about that for some of the listeners who maybe, you know, aren't aware of that particular activity, okay?
Okay, that'd be great.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break. Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there. Or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc. And we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide. Books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show. Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Paula Bates, and we are speaking about her book, The Atlantean Legacy. Again, you can find out more about Paula and her books, as well as her art and blog and many other things, by visiting her website, which is paulabates.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Paula.
Hello. Glad to
Great.
Be back.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, prior to going to the Brian Weiss workshop, you know, what was your experience about past lives and your beliefs about past lives, and you know, for people out there who maybe wonder if some of their, you know, current experiences might be, you know, an indication of a past life. Would you mind kind of sharing with the listeners kind of how you progressed through, you know, that particular belief system that you had about past lives?
Yes. I don't remember a time when I didn't believe in past lives.
Okay.
I have always thought it just made sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me that there isn't, because it's so finite. There's just so little you can do in this life. It goes by so fast. It seems, I mean, you can do a lot, but it's still not enough. It's not enough time, and everybody's fighting about time or struggling with the time idea. So past lives just made sense. But also what I learned as I went on and explored the idea of past lives and that I learned in my training was that when you get into those past lives, you can bring, when you bring them to the present, what you do, some of the past lives affect your behavior in the present. So when you bring that information through, it also brings the charge, the energy charge around that to the present and releases it. So oftentimes, although you'll still have the memory, the whatever issue you were having, whether it was reflecting affecting your relationships or you had some kind of ache or pain that you didn't know where it was coming from or that sort of thing, that the past life memory can release that for you. And so it's very helpful in that way.
Okay, yeah, you know, and you know, I think also unexplained phobias. I've kind of read a few of those.
Yeah.
And it's like what the heck? You know, I shouldn't be afraid of this. So is just the knowledge and I guess awareness of that emotional that charge really enough to just kind of neutralize that charge in this particular life?
It seems to do that. Sometimes it takes work, and you need to do more than one trip back there. But oftentimes, one time will do it, and it'll bring it through. And one of the things that people get so surprised about is the details that come through. They'll look back in it, and they'll go, "Where did that come from? I never would have come up with that idea on my own." But sometimes when a person is in a trance, it can feel like they're making it up. And it's afterwards, when they look at all the details that came through, that they're really, really are pleased and surprised. And then they'll realize later on that, oh, this isn't bothering me the way it did. And that's, you know, like the phobias, like fear of flying or that sort of thing. That seems to be a big one. And It really is amazing. It's amazing how it can help people.
Yeah. So now, as a past life therapist, do you kind of have people come to you with the with that in mind? You know, that there's that, you know, feeling or that sense that maybe there is a past life event that is impacting their current life, and is that kind of where you go from? And when you take someone to a past life, how is it determined which life they go to?
Okay, so what I do with my clients is when they come in, we sit down and we'll discuss what it is they're wanting and why they want to come through, and why they want to do this. And there's several different reasons. One, they want to know if somebody in their present life was somebody in a past life and what the connection is there. Sometimes it's because they have, like you said, some phobia. Sometimes it's because they can't figure out why they have some issue about, who knows, a relationship issue or something, and they just want to figure it out. Sometimes they just want to explore it, and it's just a new thing and a new tool, and they just want to see what it's like and where they go. So what we do is I go with what they want. So I'll put them in a trance, and it's a progressive relaxation type of trance where you relax the whole body, and then you count down, and you go through a series of steps to get them into a very relaxed state, and you get them to that place where they can go through a door. And then we just allow it to come through. And if they're, like you said, if they're visual, they go with the visual. If they're not so visual, that you can go with more with sounds or just feelings, and just allow it to come through in your own individual way. And so I will be right there with the client and be asking questions because they can talk while they're in a trance, and it's really quite interesting because there's a sort of a dichotomy. The person knows they're in the room and I'm there and they're talking to me, but at the same time they're going through this whole series of experiences. So it's in a way, it's if you think of like watching television and you're in a trance,
no.
And you know you're sitting in your living room and you know somebody's walking down the hallway or whatever, but you're in this whole other world. And so it's kind of like that, but you can talk if you need to talk and that sort of thing. So and that's what we do. So we just follow the thread, and I just kind of allow it to come through because sometimes spirit has an idea. Spirit wants you to experience something. So sometimes you'll go someplace you didn't expect. Sometimes you'll get information you really weren't expecting at all, but it's what you needed.
Yeah.
It's what you needed.
Yeah. Okay. So now I can understand where maybe, you know, an awareness of a charged event would, you know, help at least put it into context, you know, exactly. Now, is there any kind of case where going back, instead of neutralizing, you know, an experience, maybe recreates or re-energizes that charge?
I haven't had that experience of that happening. I've had it more like more of an excitement about it and wanting to find out more about it, but not making it worse.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I mean, it's just one of those. I've never, ventured into that realm, and for people who are listening who haven't, that might be something that they, want to go ahead and do. Now, in all of the cases where you've worked with clients, has anyone else gone back to Atlantis?
I haven't had any of my clients go back to Atlantis. No, they're usually staying in time periods that we know, and so I myself have not had that happen, which is kind of disappointing.
Well, yeah, it kind of made me wonder, because I mean, obviously, I believe, that we have these, reconnections time and time again, and I would think that, someone may have been drawn to you, from that particular lifetime. So,
yeah.
Well, maybe yet that will happen. Maybe.
Yes, yes.
So, well, now, what, obviously your books are kind of directed to people who are, either interested in Atlantis or like that, the idea of, adventure, that kind of thing. So what have been some of the reactions that you've had so far from people who have read your books?
Now, I have had reactions to people who say they've lived in Atlantis. These aren't people who have done past life regressions with me, but they're people who have read the book. And it seems like a lot of people who read the book are pulled towards the books because they did have past lives in Atlantis. Now, a lot of us have had because there's so many years that Atlantis existed, so it just makes sense that a lot of us had past lives back there, if you do believe in past lives. But that's what people read the books, and certain parts of them will appeal to them. Some people are attracted to the stuff about the crystals, and other people are attracted to the stuff about the shuttlecrafts and the technology and that sort of thing. So it's just really interesting to see what different people are like about the book, but it tends to be mostly they have their own memories triggered. And they may, like I've said before, they may be a lot different than the book, but they're their own legitimate memories. And that's really exciting to see that happen.
Yeah, you know, I would think that would be fun to see, you know, to be able to have that trigger happen and you know, for people, because once you kind of get that little glimpse of awareness, it seems that, you know, that just, number one, kind of gets an individual curious about finding out more, you know, and then also, you know, really opens up the individual to all kinds of different possibilities, all different kinds of things that maybe they, you know, hadn't thought about, you know, up until that point.
Yeah. It is really fun. Like I said before, it's really, really fun to watch people do that, to open up and to get all excited and to say, oh, I remember that. That's just, I can absolutely see what you're saying. It just felt so real to me. So, and it just, it's just a great thing to see.
I'm sure. So now, have you had any other past lives that you plan on writing about?
Well, yes. But I just aren't not far enough along to really really get into that yet. But I'm hoping, yes, that we'll have a third book at some point.
Oh, good. Now, is this going to be a part of a trilogy?
Probably so. I think it's going to be a trilogy. Yeah.
Okay, because that's kind of what I thought. As soon as you said that, I thought, yeah, I can see it is a group of three for sure.
Yeah.
So now, what is that, for the people listening, I have a Gemini Moon in my chat room who says she's looking forward to reading your book. So would you, for her, could you tell her, like, the as far as legacy and echoes, I mean, legacy first, echo second, what are the what's the main difference between the two?
Okay, the Atlantean legacy happens on Atlantis, and that is like the last 4 or 5 years before Atlantis goes down and at the end when Atlantis does go down. Atlantean echoes is actually, it follows a group of the Atlanteans who go to Egypt. So it gets into their culture, or them reestablishing their culture and basically dominating the culture that's over there and taking over in Egypt, in very ancient Egypt.
Okay.
So it's a sequel.
Yeah, it's a sequel. Okay, yeah. And I remember that, you know, at the very end, you know, things were dispersed, you know, across the globe. So, well, this is great. You know, and again, I like I said, I enjoyed reading it. And I know that anyone who has the interest in Atlantis and maybe even felt that that they were there at any particular time is going to enjoy reading it. But I want to talk just a little bit about your other aspects of your realm. You know, that would be your art, you know. You know, like I said, I really enjoyed it. You have quite a variety, and you know, I noticed you had, you know, quite a few landscapes, and I loved your metaphysical and abstract art as well. You know, some of that was just, I thought it was just absolutely beautiful. So, on that, tell us about your art. You know, I mean, obviously you're intuitive, you know, intuitive in nature. And so with your art, you know, I notice you have different media, you know. Tell us a little bit about your art.
Okay, so I started off when younger, I did traditional oil paintings. So there's a lot of some of my older work. And then I stretched out into more abstract and mixed media, and that's where I've gone off into the kind of metaphysical art, which I really love doing because it's so it is intuitive, and it is. I was told that I have this counsel that helps me pick out the pieces. So some of the people say, have you channeled your art? Well, it kind of is, yes. I think a lot of artists do that too. But it's such a thrill to just close my eyes and pick a color and pick a medium and decide what mark to make and decide if it's something needs to be glued on. And it's a very exciting piece. And then each piece seems to have its own sense about it and a very definitive energy around it. So when I put the name on, that kind of gives it the final touch. But I've been doing art since I was a baby, really as early as I can remember. So it's just a very much an integral part of my life. And I'm now, you know, I have work in galleries and things around.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I'm more autistic than artistic, I certainly do appreciate, you know, someone who can, you know, put to canvas the art. Now, one of the things I noticed also, you have commissions, so people, if they're interested, they can commission a piece by you?
Uh-huh, yes, they could. And I love to do those. And also, if anybody's interested in any of the art itself, it's can be purchased as well.
Yeah, great. And now I also believe that you have a CD, Musical Inspirations, from the
yes. Actually, I didn't do the CD. The CD is several musician friends of mine who were inspired by my book, and they channeled that CD in 3 hours. There's a harp, there's a beautiful toning. One of the women is a professional jazz singer, and she does this beautiful toning and crystal bowls. And then there's another woman who does channels ancient language, so it's Atlantean language. And the pieces together are just beautiful. If any of your readers listeners want to check that out, they can go to on my website, it's paulabates.com, but then there's /Atlantean music, so you have to know that /Atlantean music because that's not on the menu. But if you want to go listen to a couple of the and download a couple of the cuts from the CD, you can, because it's really beautiful.
Great, great. Yeah, we'll definitely have people check that out. So, gosh, we're kind of winding down here. So, you know, what is it that you hope that the readers are going to kind of take away from reading your books?
Really, it's that they get their own memories triggered, whatever those may be, whether they're Atlantean or other past lives, but just that, to allow that to come through, because it's such a healing experience to have those, that energy come through, and it's fun, and it's exciting, and it opens up new worlds for you. So that would be the thing that would trigger. But also, there's the thing about looking at fear versus love, and trusting in the universe and the love that is there.
Okay. Yeah, really, really important, good, important lessons. So now, is there maybe any final words? Do you have anything up and coming that you might want to share with listeners, or any final words for listeners?
Just if you're interested in my book and you want to buy them, and if you read them and you like them and you want to put a comment, that would be great. If you want to contact me on my website, you can contact me through my website. I'm interested in to see how people react to the book, and so yeah, just enjoy it.
Great,
It's a fun read. I'm sorry, it's a fun read.
yeah, it is. It is. Like I say, I enjoyed it. You know, I read hundreds of books. I mean, each year, because I have mostly authors on my show, and I always read the books so that I can give a better interview. And you know, so many are just, I mean, they all have their good points, you know, but a lot of times they're, you know, very instructional or just, it's just very nice to have a book that not only kind of makes you think, but also entertains you, you know what I mean? And to me, that was one of the beauties of your book as well.
Okay, thank you. That makes me feel really good to know that it's entertaining as well, yeah.
Yeah. Now, again, I'm sorry, you were on Facebook, correct? So I just wanted to make sure people who are on there, they can follow you there?
Yes, Atlantean Legacy.
Great. Uh-huh. Okay, well, Paula, this has really been enjoyable. I really want to thank you for your time and sharing with us, and I'll be liking your Facebook page, following you there, and look forward to number 3 in the trilogy.
All right. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Paula Bates, and we've been speaking about her book, The Atlantean Legacy, and also Atlantean Echoes, which you can find more information by visiting her website, which is www.paulabates.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.